Take your Bibles tonight, Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 6. But before we do that, I want to read something to you that one of the young ladies in our church sent me this week. And it sort of sets the stage for our lesson tonight. Here's the message she sent me. She said, "I came across this today and it made me giggle. And thank Brother Leonard. Just thought you might enjoy it too." And so what she attached is the Hillbilly Ten Commandments. The Hillbilly Ten Commandments. Now, these are not in they're not in biblical order. Okay, so I understand that. But again, I think they'll set the stage for our Bible lesson tonight. So here they are. Number one, ain't but one God. Number two, honor your ma and pa. Number three, no telling tales or gossiping. Number four, get your hide to Sunday meeting. Number five, ain't nothing come before the Lord. Number six, no fooling with another feller's gal. Number seven, no killing except for critters. Number eight, quit your foul mouthing. Number nine, no swiping your kinfolk's stuff. And number 10, don't be hankering for it either. So sort of gets the point across in a way that Brother Leonard would appreciate. And I appreciate it. I got a little chuckle out of it too. But tonight we're talking about the nation of Israel in the second chapter of Judges. And of course, they've already crossed the Jordan River, come into the promised land under Joshua's leadership, taken parts of the promised land, all the ones, the parts of the land that they could handle at that point. You know, God said, "I'm not going to give it to all at once because you can't handle it. I need for you to grow a little bit." And so, they conquered what they could handle underneath Joshua. And a couple weeks ago, as we started the second chapter, we talked about a visit from an angel that the nation of Israel got. And this angel had prophesied what was going to happen. The angel reminded them that they were instructed when they came into the promised land not to make any treaties or any leagues with any of the people. That they were to displace them, to drive them out, to kill them, and then they were to throw down their gods. They were to destroy the places where they worshiped their false gods, tear down the altars, cut down the groves, and just destroy the places where the Canaanites worshiped their god. And the angel says, "You didn't do that." And you remember, if you remember a couple weeks ago, the angel asked the question, "Why? Why wouldn't you be obedient to God?" And because you haven't, the angel says, you won't drive them out. I mean, you're at the point where you've grown now. You need to take more of the land. You need to drive out some more people, but you're not going to be able to do it. There'll be thorns in your flesh, and their gods shall be your snares. They'll trap you. And as you recall, in verse 4 of chapter 2, "And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voice and wept." And you would think, you know, having been delivered this message that, hey, you know, God wants to give you more, but he can't because you haven't been obedient, you haven't done what he said, and they recognized that and wept, you would think that they would change their ways, repent, and got so that God could bless them again. But if they repented when they wept, it didn't last long because they went right back to their ways. So we're going to start in verse 6 tonight. We're going to try to get through the rest of the chapter. But we start out by with a little history lesson, with a little reminder of what's gone on. In verse 6, the Bible says, "And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land." And again, just be reminded from that verse that God blesses in a personalized, individualized manner. He loves the whole world. He sent Jesus to die for the whole world. But he loves you. And he sent Jesus to die for you. Each of us, if we stop and think about it, have blessings, individual blessings that God has. Again, he's blessed us as a church. He blesses us corporately as a group. But each of us have things that we can point to and say, this is a blessing for me. God blessed me with this. God blessed me with that. These are personalized things that God has done for me as an individual. Just like he gave every he gave the Israelites a land that flowed with milk and honey. But every man had his inheritance. Every man had a piece of property. Every man had a piece of ground that he could call his own that God gave to him. And God works the same way today. Verse 7, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Joshua was a good leader. Not only was he a good military leader, not only was he a good leader when it come to administrating the things that needed to go on in a secular kind of way in leading the people of God, but he was also a good spiritual leader. Now, I know they had a high priest. I know that, you know, that there was a high priest on the scene when Joshua was there, but he was also a good spiritual leader. And there were men that lived during his time that when he died, that took over, that were also good leaders, good spiritual leaders. These were men that had seen all the great, and I want you to notice the adjectives, and I'm not sure if they're adjectives or adverbs, but they're words that describe different, that describe nouns. So I think those are adjectives. Somebody help me, but I think they're adjectives. All right, so I want you to notice some of the adjectives tonight. They had seen all the great works of the Lord. They had seen all the great things that God had did for Israel. And these were good spiritual leaders because they kept reminding the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, they kept reminding them about the things that God had done for them. In Joshua's day, in the day of these people that outlived Joshua, do you think there were any people that wanted to turn from God? Do you think there were any people that wanted to go worship the false gods of Canaan? Yeah, I think there were. I mean, they were people. They were human beings. And even in the day of Joshua, even in the day of these men that outlived Joshua and saw the great works of God, there were people that wanted to turn away and worship false gods. But Joshua and the people that served with him, that took over after he died, they restrained the people from worshiping those false gods. They kept them sort of in line, and they did that by constantly reminding them what God had done for them. I mean, they kept bringing it up, and they tried to build faith in those people by saying, look, what God has done in the past, he will continue to do in the future. And that was their message. Don't go worship Baal. Don't go worship the gods of the Canaanites, because you serve a God, and you worship a God that has done this, 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 and the list was an endless list. You serve a God that has done all these things for you, and what he has done in the past, he will continue to do in the future. Now, I sort of think that the job of every preacher, of every Sunday school teacher, of every parent, of every grandparent, of every spiritual leader, is to do the same thing. We need to keep reminding those that God has put in our care, we need to keep reminding them of what God has done. And we need to build their faith so that their faith says, what God has done in the past, he will continue to do in the future. What he's done for us before, he doesn't change. He hasn't changed. And what he's done for us before, He will do for us again. And so that's what these people did. Joshua, that's what the people that outlived him, that saw the great works of God, did. They kept reminding the Israelites, hey, remember what God did. I'm going to mention some of the things in a minute, but remember what he did. And what he did in the past, he'll continue to do in the future. With that kind of God, why would you go to any other? Why would you look for any other God to serve? Now look at verse 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So Joshua died. Again, we read about that in Joshua chapter 24, when we studied the book of Joshua. He was 110 years old. They buried him in his inheritance. He was of the tribe of Ephraim. Also, all that lived with him, all the men that lived in his time, all the women that lived in his time, those that had experienced firsthand the great works of God, those that had seen it with their own eyes, those that were there when God worked, they also were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation, the Bible says, that knew not the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel. Now, why didn't they know it? Maybe they weren't taught. Or if they were taught, maybe they were taught in such a way that it wasn't impressed on their hearts and their minds what God had done for them. The bottom line, when they came on the scene, when they came into positions of leadership, they did not know God. And they did not know the works that he had done for them. And I would remind you tonight, in any society, in any setting, we're only one generation away from not knowing God and from not knowing what he has done for us. If we don't do what we're supposed to do in the way that we're supposed to do it, in other words, teach and repeat over and over and over and over and over again the things that God has done for us, and build that faith that says what he's done before, he will do. Hey, look, that's why, you remember in the book of Exodus when God was talking to his people, and that's why I started with the hillbilly Ten Commandments tonight. I mean, God gave his people the law, the Ten Commandments. You remember what he said? He said, put it on signs on your doorpost. Write them on your walls. Make you little signs that you can wear in front of your eyes. And it said, you know, and one of the ways to memorize scriptures, make you 3x5 cards, pin it on your mirrors. You know, so when you're going in there and shaving or putting on your makeup or combing your hair, you can see that 3x5 card and keep looking at what the Bible, God says, put it everywhere. Remind your children and your grandchildren every day, multiple times a day. Teach them about God. Teach them what he's done. I mean, again, if we don't do what we're supposed to do in the way that we're supposed to do it, we're only one generation away from having a generation that doesn't know God and doesn't know what he has done for us. Look at verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Couldn't be helped. I mean, there was no other choice. It had to happen. Any time that they don't know God, any time that they don't know what he had done for them, they would do evil. They would turn away from him. They would serve other God. If we don't know God, and if we don't know what he's done, any God will do. Think about it. If we don't know God, and we don't know what he's done, any God will do. There will be no faithfulness to our God. There'll be no loyalty to our God. I mean, different gods will come and say, well, here's what I'll do for you, and here's what I'll do for you, and here's what I'll do for you. And if we don't know the true God and we're not reminded of what he's done, we'll follow the God that makes the best promise. Because we're not grounded. We don't know the true God. So they had no knowledge, and they were blown by the wind to different gods. Look at verse 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. One of the saddest statements in the Bible. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers. The one that brought them out of Egypt. The one that sent the plagues to have Pharaoh drive them out. The one that, led them across the Red Sea on dry ground. The God that fed them in the wilderness manna and gave them water out of the rock and made it so their clothes wouldn't wear out and their shoes grew with their feet for 40 years. The one that led them across the Jordan River on dry ground. The one that brought them into the land, the promised land, the land that flowed with milk and honey, and gave them that great victory at Jericho. And then after Ai, victory after victory after victory, giving them the part of the land that they could handle. And now they have forsook that God. And they have started worshiping gods made of sticks and stones, gods that have ears and can't hear, eyes and can't see, hands and can't handle, and feet that can't walk, that have to be carried around. They turn from the God that can do the impossible, the God that can work miracles, the God whose hand is not shortened, the God that says, is there anything impossible unto me? They turned to gods that couldn't do anything for them. They were idols, sticks, stones, and they served Baal, the he gods, and Ashtaroth, the she gods. And when the God of their fathers doesn't become their God, they turn to any God. They turn to any God. And again, it says, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Now again, God's ways are higher than ours, and his thoughts are higher than ours. But I can understand this a little bit. These were his children. They were born in his house. He had cared for them. They didn't become atheists. When they turned to forsook the God of their fathers, they didn't believe in God. They turned to other gods. Again, gods that could do nothing for them. And so we read in verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. And we'll go ahead and read verse 15. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord has said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. I don't know about you, but I hope I never get in the case where the God would have to say against about me or about anybody that I know, and the anger of the Lord was hot. I mean, I never wanted the anger of my dad to be hot against me, because he could swing a belt and a razor strap. And I sure don't want the anger of God to be hot against me. Up until this point, and again, his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, but I can understand. These were his people. He had delivered them. He had given them this land, and they forsook him. Now, up to this point, they were able to hold what they'd taken as far as the land goes. Again, God didn't give it to them all at once. He gave them a little bit at a time. He said, I'm not going to give it to you all at a time because you're not big enough. You know, the weeds and the beast will overcome the land. I'm just going to give you pieces of it that you can handle. And then when you grow bigger, I'll bless you some more and I'll give you more of it. Well, they were ready to take more. But now, because of their forsaking God, because of their ignoring his command not to make treaties with this people, because of his command not to worship their gods, now he delivered them to the spoilers that spoiled them and to their enemies so that they could not withstand. In other words, the people of Canaan began to take back some of the blessings, some of the land that God had given them. So the hand of the Lord was against them. Now listen, when the hand of the Lord is against you, it doesn't matter how big you are, it doesn't matter how strong you are, it doesn't matter how many of you there are. Again, notice the adjective. You're going to be greatly distressed. I don't care how strong, how smart, how big, how mighty you are. If the hand of the Lord is against you, you're going to be distressed greatly. So, if the Lord's with you, if his hand is with you, you won't have any trouble. But if his hand is against you, you have no hope. Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. So, when they were oppressed by this people because of their disobedience, the Bible says that God raised up judges, selected by him, equipped by him. It says the Lord was with the judge. They were put in position by him. I talked to the kids in Sunday school about Deborah on Sunday. She was one of the first judges, not the first one, but one of the first ones. We'll talk about her in a few weeks, but God set up judges. He picked them. He put them in place. He gave them what they needed to lead. And he used those judges to deliver his people out of the hands of those that oppressed them. Why? Why? I want you to notice what it says in verse 18. It repented the Lord because of their groaning by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. David reminded us of this in his testimony tonight. I almost told you to quit because I thought you were going to get into my Bible study tonight. God's a merciful God. He'll punish those that he loves. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. But when he hears our cry, when he hears our groans, he changes his mind and gives us another chance. And delivers us. And again, it's only because of his grace. It's only because of his mercy. And so people turned away from him. They ignored all the instruction that he gave them. He brought oppression on them. They cried. He raised up a judge. Delivered them. But when the judge was dead, they turned again away from God and went right back through the same cycle. And we're going to see it 7 different times in this book. Verse 19, and it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. And again, I want you to know something here. When the judge was dead, it was usually another generation. And so it would have been the kids of the generation who the judge delivered. It says, they corrupted themselves more than their fathers. In other words, they went further away from God. They went deeper into sin. Again, which to me says that we better set a pretty good example for our kids. Because if we set a bad example, they're not only going to go into sin as far as we do, they're going to go further. They're going to go deeper. They're going to get further away from God. And did you notice what it says there in the last part of that verse? They cease not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And I'll just repeat something I said Sunday morning. The most stubborn creature that God made was not a four-legged being called a donkey. The most stubborn creature that God made is a two-legged being called a man. I mean, when I stop and think about this, God made us. He made us. He knows us. He gave us a book of instructions, and he said, look, live by this book. I'll bless you. I'll be your God. You can be my people. I mean, this is how to live your life. And yet we say to our Creator, I know better than you do. I have a better idea. I have a different way that I want to do it. And we are stubborn, and we want our own way. Now let's go ahead and read the rest of the chapter. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Now, I'm just about done. One more truth. God hasn't changed. If we are disobedient, he will leave things in our life that he would have driven out. He will leave things in our life to prove us, to test us, to see whether we will keep the way of the Lord, to walk therein, as our fathers did keep it or not. In other words, there are Canaanites, and I just put it in these words, there are Canaanites in our life. There are spoilers in our life. There are enemies in our life that God said, hey, if you would have just not been so stubborn, if you would have just obeyed me, I would have got rid of all those things. Always not people, but circumstances and all. I would have got rid of all those. Because you weren't obedient, I'm going to leave them there to prove you, to test you, to see if you'll walk in my ways. If we could, I'll just make it as simple as I know how to make it. If we could just have the mind of Christ, if we could just say, not my will, but thy will be done. If we could just be obedient children and always remember who God is and what he's done for us. He saved me. He gave me the Holy Spirit to live in me and never leave me nor forsake me. I could spend an hour. I could go down the list and tell you how God has blessed me individually. I know he's blessed us corporately, but I could tell you, I could spend an hour, I could spend more than an hour, I could spend the rest of the night, and I could list thing after thing after thing after thing that God's done. Oh, that I could just have the mind of Christ. Oh, that I would not be so stubborn. Oh, that I would not want my own way and say like Jesus, not my will, but thy will be done. Glad you're here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.